This is News in Notes. I'm Tony Cox. Today on our Bloggers Roundtable, Tavis Smiley says goodbye to Tom Joyner's radio show, and the Democratic candidates exchange barbs over Obama's bitter comment. On today's Bloggers Roundtable, I am joined by Robert Redding, publisher of the RedingNewsReview.com, and Amber Nicole. She blogs at Nicola.com, and hopefully we'll be joined later by John McCann, who runs the blog Book of John. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Hello.
Let's start with Tavis Smiley. He is leaving the Tom Joyner show, but not until June. Now, some media reports have had him leaving the show immediately. Tavis says it's because he's juggling too many different projects, but some say, including Tom Joyner, that Tavis is calling it quits because of all the heat that he has drawn for criticizing Barack Obama. Robert, what do you think the real deal is?
Well, I think he can't handle the heat, so he's getting out of the kitchen. And I think that's unfortunate since, you know, to use an old saying, the chickens are kind of coming home to roost here with Tavis, because when you live on a Democratic plantation and you're drinking the Kool-Aid and it was coming out of both sides of your mouth and you're really touting Hillary Clinton as the premier candidate, I think at the end of the day, you have a situation where you're not being even-handed, and people are saying, you know what, we've had enough of the Clintons at this point. The Clintons have done a lot of good, but at the same time, they haven't done enough, and Barack Obama's our chance to get a black candidate, and people want to see that. So, I mean, the fact that he's not being independent and coming from an independent perspective, I think is showing through here in the fact that he's touting Hillary. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes and works for the Hillary campaign at some point.
Amber, you think this is more about politics than anything else? I mean, Clinton versus Obama?
I do, to some extent. I have to say, I think Tavis Smiley was sort of a refreshing voice in the whole political discussion, just because not very many, prominent black leaders or media, individuals were speaking sort of against Obama. So I actually am a little bit disappointed to hear that he's moving on, but I do think it has a lot to do with politics. I think he's gotten a lot of flack from just sort of bringing some common sense into the discussion.
Well, you know, Tavis is someone that we all here at NPR know, myself included, having worked on the Tavis Smiley show when it was here at NPR. His suggestion then to you that he's just too busy with the TV show and the Forum for Black America and his foundation and all the other things that he's involved in. And he has been on the Tom Joyner show for 12 years, I think. You don't buy that, Robert?
Yeah, well, I don't buy it. And Tom Joyner made Tavis Smiley who he is, essentially, I think one can definitely argue. I'm not going to say that I quote-unquote think he's been a great voice. I mean, I think he's been a one-sided voice for the Democratic Party. I know you work with Tavis, and I understand that. I follow his career very closely. I'm an independent. I make that very clear. But when we're talking about politics here, we're talking about Hillary Clinton versus Barack Obama, we're talking about Tavis Smiley being strictly for Hillary Clinton. That's a bias that the listeners of the Tom Joyner Morning Show were not letting him get away with. Let's be clear about this and define our terms here.
You know, that's a very interesting situation, because politically, Amber, have you ever known an occasion in which the black community has been rallied or has rallied itself in the way that it has to have an impact on or not being on the air surrounding something that was said or not said, or support that was given or not given, or criticism that was made or not made about a presidential candidate?
Not to this extent. I think we've seen it with other, sort of within the political game, with different comments that were made, but not on the extent of it being actually a presidential candidate. And I just wanted to also add that I don't think that Tavis is not being completely forthright. I think what he's saying about having too many projects and having a lot that he's, has going on, I think that's true, but I think this whole pressure that he's been receiving has sort of provided a reason to sort of move on. So I think it's a both and.
All right, so we should move on as well to topic number two for the Bloggers Roundtable. Senator Obama's campaign, we're going to talk about him a little bit more, spent the weekend dealing with fallout of his own from comments that he made about small-town Pennsylvania voters. During a private fundraiser in San Francisco last week, he said many Pennsylvania voters have been angry over the last 25 years because manufacturing jobs have left the region. And he said, quote, I'm sure all of you have heard this by now. It is not surprising then they get bitter. They cling to guns or religion or antipathy toward people who aren't like them or anti-immigrant sentiment or anti-trade sentiment as a way to explain their frustrations. He has spent the weekend trying to explain away what he described as a poor choice of words. Robert, does he need to go? What does he need to do to get out from under this, or can he?
There is nothing to get off from under. He told the truth. The fact that white people in this country are losing their jobs and they are unemployed without hope of finding another job, with factories that have been shut down in their community for 25 years or more, with no hope of a new factory sprouting up anytime soon. I was talking to Joe Madison earlier today about this, and he was fielding phone calls about this, and he got nothing but white people that called his show. He's a black talk show host. Got nothing but white people that called his show saying, you know, Barack Obama's right here. Why is he apologizing? I think this makes him look weak. It's a bad move. I know people say that it contradicts his yes, we can message of optimism, but at the same time, before we can be optimistic about anything, we have to face the truth about where we are right now. And I think he was doing that, and then he apologized for something, and he's apologizing. Let's look at this. Why is he apologizing? Hillary Clinton, John McCain says he should because he's attacking them. These comments really attack them and how they addressed and have addressed these issues in smaller America.
Let's welcome John McCain. He is joining us now. John McCain, who runs the blog Book of John. Hello, John.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Listen, one of the things I want to bring to you, talking about Obama and these comments, I was on the blog today from Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, and the whites that I read, here's what they had to say about Obama. They said, look, we go to church anyway. You know, we like our guns anyway, and we don't, it's not just because we lost our jobs and we are bitter. This is a part of our culture, and Obama needs to understand and recognize that. What about that, John?
Well, that's right. I mean, the man is telling me, and I'm a person of faith, you know, I'm a Christian, and, you know, is he telling me that I go to church because I need that as a crutch? Now, if he didn't have anything to apologize for, that's one thing, and I'll even grant you that. But the problem is, when is it going to come to a point where you stop playing politics, where you figure it's the political thing to do to issue an apology just to clean things up? When are these candidates going to stand for something?
That's an interesting point. And let me apologize for putting you in the presidential race. John McCain, you're not John McCain.
I've been
saying that name so much, it's just like in the back of my head.
Hey,
so
trust me, I'm a few shades lighter, and as well as my pockets is a whole lot lighter.
And a little bit younger, too, probably as well. So my apologies to you. Amber, let me come to you about this Obama thing, because here's a question. He's had some missteps recently on the campaign trail, the right controversy, of course, the typical white person comment, and now we have this one. How much of this can be blamed on his relative, I underscore the word relative, inexperience as a political campaigner on this stage?
I think probably a good deal can be. I think he's a great, he's got great rhetoric. He's probably the most skilled in terms of being a compelling speaker, but I think a lot of times that can sort of pull you too far in one direction, and you can often say things that came out, you know, the wrong way. I think if you've done any research on the state of Pennsylvania, you would know that, you know, there's a huge history behind why Pennsylvanians are the way that they are, and I think that particular comment, if he's catching flack because of it, he should have and would have known that he could have said something different. But he knew what he was saying, and like others have stated, I think he needs to stand by his words.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who, you know, didn't anyone that's saying that words matter, you know? So my thing is, if it was Hillary Clinton, if it was John McCain, this is a white guy, not me, if it was John McCain saying these things, he and so many others would have attacked. So fair is fair. Let's take off the kid gloves with Obama.
Talking sure. about taking off the kid gloves, both of them are in Pittsburgh today, Monday, trying really hard to win over voters. It's been said, Robert, that Philadelphia is Obama country and Pittsburgh is Clinton country and Pennsylvania was Clinton country, but it may be up for grabs now. How do you see it?
Well, Pennsylvania looks a lot like Mississippi in between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. I still think it's a toss-up. I still think Hillary can do fairly well here. I think she has to do well to stay in this because I think Barack Obama has it really locked up at this point. But I think that those comments, back to those comments for a second, because I think those comments were really more for Indiana, which is where he looks to squeak out a victory. He's only down by a point or two in that industrialized state, and he needs to win an industrialized state at this point because of losing Texas and Ohio.
That's an interesting point. Let me just say to our listeners, you're listening to NPR's News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox, sitting in for Farai. If you're just tuning in with me on today's Bloggers Roundtable, Robert Redding, he publishes the RedingNewsReview.com, Amber Nicole, who blogs at Nicola.com, and John McCann, not John McCain, who runs the blog Book of John. Let's talk about Philadelphia more specifically, because the mayor there, Michael Nutter, recently signed a new gun control law which has major restrictions. It would limit handgun purchases to one a month. It would require people to report lost or stolen weapons to police within 24 hours. And also, it outlaws the sale or possession of certain assault weapons. As you might imagine, the National Rifle Association and gun rights activists opposed the law. So my question, John, is will this new law help do anything to lower the already crime rate, the already high crime rate and murder rate that they have there?
I don't think so. The thing is, just like when you make alcohol illegal with prohibition, folks still find a way to get their drink on. Just like if you marijuana is illegal, but you still see folks around here rolling blunts. So folks will find a way to get weapons and do the damage. I, as one of those Christians that Barack Obama says clings to their faith, would submit to you that the problem is a sin problem, and that until people's hearts change, legislation is not going to be the ultimate thing. Although, hey, you know, I do applaud the effort. You know, just like with civil rights, I applaud the efforts that were done and the legislation that was passed to change some things as far as race relations were concerned. But ultimately, it's a hard issue.
But there really are some serious issues with regard to the validity of this legislation, aren't there, Amber? Is it a Second Amendment issue, or is it just about the mayor trying to do something to stem a crisis hurting his city? And apparently, it goes against existing legislation passed by the state legislature.
I mean, I think, yeah, I think that that's absolutely an issue here. I think that the validity of what the mayor is doing is definitely in question. But, I mean, if I had an organ right now, I'd pull it out because John McCann is over here preaching. I'm definitely in agreement with what he's saying, because I think that although the intent of the mayor's heart might be correct, I don't think it's going to do a lot of, you know, have any huge effect on the crime, because it's a much, much bigger issue.
John, back in 2005, coming back to you once again, city residents voted 4-1 on a non-binding referendum demanding the state allow the city to pass its own gun laws. The state says it may, you know, step in. Do you think that would be a good thing?
I don't know. I have to defer. I'm not up to speed on the gun laws, and so I would have to defer on that one.
Well, that's all right. Robert, what do you say about that?
Well, I think that it's definitely appropriate. Look, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the state can dictate what Philadelphia should be doing, but the mayor is the mayor of the city, and he has to try to deal with the problem at hand. I'm for the right to bear arms like everyone else just about in America, and the polls have shown this, but at the same time, within reason, do we really need folks walking the streets with AK-47s, especially where police are involved, and trying to police and put down some of these thugs and tyrants that are running the street?
You know, Hillary Clinton made passing reference to her support of both gun control and her support of people having the right to bear arms, but this hasn't really crept up into the national political debate for the presidency. Has it, and are you surprised at that, Amber?
I'm a little bit surprised. I think it will eventually come into the discussion. I think there have been so many other things that we've focused in on in the last, you know, 6 or so months. But it's a little bit surprising. But you know what? It's one of those pet issues that always has its way of coming up in conversation. I think it's just a matter of time.
Robert?
Well, I think that it probably will creep in, especially since D.C. is looking at very similar issues as it relates to guns.
All right, we're going to move away from guns and politics to something entirely different. for our last couple of minutes of Bloggers Roundtable today, and it's about this person. Her name is Mariah Carey, and her hits just keep on coming. Touch my body. The pop star's latest tune, Touch My Body, has soared to the top of the Billboard Hot 100, making it her 18th number one single, and that alone pushes her to second place all time on the list past Elvis Presley. She is only second to the Beatles, who have 20 number one singles. John McCann, she has to compete with Ciara, Beyonce, Rihanna, all of these folks. Can she do it for another 5 years or so?
Well, I guess she can. I mean, you know, the kind of stuff she's singing about is nothing I would rush out and buy. If I could kind of tweak this discussion a little bit, and we could certainly bring it back, but, you know, congratulations to Mariah Carey. Okay, that's fine. But, guys, I'm still mad about the whole Michael Jackson thing. I still haven't heard the uproar.
Now, let me stop you there, because you're taking us on a left turn not going to have enough time to drive down that street. So let me come back. We'll visit that another time. Robert Redding, we're talking about Mariah Carey and this history-making moment for her.
I'm not in love with the single. I am in love with Mariah Carey. I have been for some time.
Surprise, surprise.
Just for the record. But let me just say that that's a nasty little song. If you've ever listened to the song, it really is a nasty little song. And I think she's holding her own against Ciara and the rest of those folks.
Amber, I'm going to give you the last word about this. What do you think about her making that place? And not so much about the song, but if you want to chime in on that, that's okay too.
I just have to say, I have a big sigh, and congratulations to Mariah, but I just wish she would go back to the days where she would just stand in her black dress and sing with the microphone. I think she's too old to be singing these kind of songs.
Well, with that, we're going to bring Bloggers Roundtable to an end. John, Amber, Robert, thank you very much for being with us again.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.